Hare Krishna. Today is the auspicious day of Lord Ramchandra's appearance, Sri Ram Navami. On this ninth day of the waxing period of the moon, Sri Ramchandra appeared in this particular month, and this is the month of Chaitra, and so it's a very auspicious day. On this day Lord Ramchandra appeared. The Supreme Personality of Godhead came to this planet to re-establish dharma, dharma sansthapanarthaya. The Lord appeared. This morning, the first thing that I was reading is Srila Prabhupada saying that on days like this, we must fix our mind or meditate upon the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The appearance, janma, karma, chame divyam. Krishna's appearance and Krishna's activities are divine. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nitaya ki jai. So the activities of the Lord is non-different from the Lord. It's all transcendental. Naam, Roop, Gun, Leela. The Lord's name, Lord's form, Lord's qualities, Lord's activities, Lord's paraphernalia, Lord's abode, they all are transcendental. They all are absolute. And therefore they're non-different. There is no difference between the Lord's name and the form, which we have discussed many a times. In the material platform, name is different from the form. Activities are different from the names. His residence is different from himself. But that's not the case with the spiritual reality. There, everything is absolute. Of course, that doesn't mean that everything is one. No. The variegatedness is there. The name is there, form is there. Name is name, form is form. His qualities are qualities, his activities are his activities. But they are non-different in the sense to meditate upon the Lord's name and meditate upon the Lord's form are non-different. Worshipping the Lord's name, worshipping the Lord's form, worshipping the Lord's paraphernalia, worshipping the Lord's abode are non-different. It's all, the result is non-different, although they are different. That is another aspect of achinta bhed abhed. There is difference, yet there is no difference. Now what is the difference and non-difference is achinta, inconceivable. We can't understand how. That is the way to approach the spiritual reality. So Prabhupada is suggesting, Prabhupada is instructing that in a day like this, we should focus ourselves completely on meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, name, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, etc. The Lord comes in order to establish dharma. What is dharma? How many of you remember what is dharma? Only this few. How many types of dharmas are there? Let's consider that first. Yes, Aniruddha, well, how many types of dharmas are there? Very good. Nainittik dharma and nitya dharma. Relative dharma and absolute dharma. The dharma that is in relation to the body, that is nainittik or relative dharma. But the dharma that is related to the soul, that is absolute dharma or eternal dharma or nitya dharma. Now what is dharma? Dharma is the inherent characteristic of a substance. The quality of a substance is the dharma. But at the same time, there is another consideration of dharma, which is the law given by the Lord. The laws that are given by the Lord is dharma. So when there is a glani, when there is a mix-up, an apparent loss of law and order, then there is chaos. When there is no law and order, there is chaos. So then, in order to normalize the situation, in order to re-establish the standard of law and order, the Lord comes to this planet. Now, sometimes this law and order is disrupted by some individuals, and sometimes this law and order is disrupted collectively. Now, in this age of Kali, the law and order has been disrupted collectively. In the age of demon crazy, many, many small demons are disrupting the standard of law and order. But in other ages, often it was some individuals that used to disrupt the law and order. Some personalities became very powerful, and at the same time they became antagonistic to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To be powerful is not a problem, but to become antagonistic to the Supreme Personality of Godhead causes the problem. And if the individual is very powerful and antagonistic to the Lord, then it creates a lot of disturbance. One such personality appeared in Treta Yuga, and his name was Ravan. One thing we can see, like sometimes, just the other day also, I was reading an article in a newspaper. It is a kind of a study based on different people's opinion, and those people are very scholarly people. I mean, scholarly in the material sense. As scholarly individuals, some professors of some institute, some university, the head of the department of history and religion of some universities. They all are Indians. His research was conducted in India, but from different parts, North India, South India, and so forth. And many of them are actually suggesting or proposing that Ramayana and Mahabharata is not historical. Ramchandra is not a real character. Ramchandra is Ramchandra, Krishna, they're imaginary characters. Now, obviously, those who know, they will immediately recognize that these people are in ignorance. They're not apparently ignorant. Apparently they all are, it seems that they all are very scholarly. But their ignorance is like, they are very learned. They are not ignorant, they are not illiterate, they are learned. But mayaya aparhita jnana. Their knowledge has been stolen by maya. This is the category of mayaya aparhita jnana. Maya has stolen their knowledge. Now, if we see things from the right perspective, then immediately we see, I mean, if we read the, say, Ramayana and Mahabharata, at least from reading, and also the Puranas, some Puranas are elaborately explaining about Krishna's identity, Krishna's pastimes, like Vishnu Puran, Brahma Vaivarta Puran, they are elaborately explaining the Lord's pastimes. And there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction. All the stories are, all the narrations are identical. There is no contradiction. And not only that, what do we find? We find a very distinct genealogical description. Which family they are born, what's their father's name, what's their grandfather's name, what's the whole lineage is established. There is a description of the whole lineage. Now this is the most convincing, at least as far as I'm concerned, I feel that that's the most convincing aspect of the authenticity of the Lord's pastimes or the description in the scriptures. Like when we read a story, we at the most we can go up to the grandfather. But is there any description beyond that? Like for example, Romeo and Juliet, right? We get to know the father's name of Romeo and the father's name of Juliet. I don't know whether there is a description of grandfather's name. I don't remember. Does anybody know? What's Romeo's grandfather's name? Put it in English. Ratnaradhika? You don't remember. Okay. So they don't even describe the grandfather's name. Superman. Does anybody know what Superman's father's name? Mother's name? Grandfather's name? No. But in the Vedic scriptures, the descriptions of every individual carries their family lineage. Not only the lineage of the hero, but the other characters also, their descriptions are there, from which family they came, what's their background. Say, the villain or the antagonist in Ramayana is Ravan. Now, who is Ravan? We have very clear understanding. Brahma's son is Pulastra. Brahma created 10 children from his mind. They are Pulastra, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, Vashishtha, Daksha, Narada. Not only just Brahma's son, Brahma's 10 sons, their descriptions are there. Then Pulastra's son is Sukesha. And Sukesha's son is Vishrava. So how many generations? We were 4 generations right there. And not only 4 generations. Who is the father of Brahma? That also we know. Father of Brahma is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Brahma, who is the mother of Brahma? Brahma doesn't have a mother. He came directly from his father. He came from the navel of the Lord. Generally, one is connected to the mother through the navel, but internally. The embryo and the baby in the womb is connected to the mother through umbilical cord, which is connected to the navel, internally, inside, in the womb of the mother. But Brahma's situation was just opposite, directly from the navel of the mother, father, Lord Vishnu. And then how did Brahma create? Brahma created from his mind. Brahma also did not need a wife to procreate. From Brahma's mind, children are born. The first 4 children of Brahma are the 4 Kumaras. So such elaborate description, unless they were true, who could imagine all this intricate subject? And what kind of imagination they will also need? And not only that, all the scriptures are saying the same thing. There is no contradiction. So, Brahma created 4 sons, 4 Kumaras, Sanat Sanatan, Sananda and Sanat Kumar. Then he created another 10 children from his mind. Pulastra, Pulaha, Kratu, Atri, Angira, Vashishtha, Daksha, Narada. They are the 7 are the rishis, saptarshis. And Pulastra's son is Sukesha, another sage. Sukesha's son is Vishrava. This personality has lived in the higher planetary systems and they were absorbed in performing spiritual activities, sacrifices. They are simply concerned about pleasing the Lord. They consider the objective of their existence in the material nature is to satisfy the Lord. And the way to satisfy was to offer prayers to Him through the sacrifices. And Vishrava was married to one daughter of a sage known as Deva Varnini. And through her, Vishrava got a son. His name is Kuvera. And Pulastra gave Kuver a very beautiful place to stay. Kuver actually is a demigod. And he is not only the demigod, he was assigned the responsibility of the treasury of the demigods. And on the Triputa mountain, there was a palace, there was a city made of gold, created by Vishwakarma. And it was given to Kuber. Now, the demons also, they have their lineage. They also came from Brahma. And they are known as Rakshasas. It has been described in the scripture, why did they get the name? Brahma, after creating them, told them that you protect the water. And they, in obedience, said, Rakshama, we will protect. And from that came the name Rakshasas. Now, these Rakshasas became envious to the demigods, because they saw that the demigods were enjoying so much facilities. They live in the heavenly planets, they have so much facilities. Whereas compared to them, their facilities were not so much. So, therefore, they became envious to the demigods. And so because of their envy, they wanted to take over the situation of the demigods, the heavenly planets. And Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. So, the demigods were often disturbed by these demons. And they also fall, there are Rakshasas, there are Daityas, and there are Danavas. They are also creations of Brahma and the Prajapatis. Through one of the Prajapatis, Kashyap, and through Diti came Daityas. The original Daityas were Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Then there are Danavas. Their Danu's children are known as Danavas. And then the Rakshasas. So, these Rakshasas became very envious of the demigods. So, they were another set of Rakshasas. They were Mallavan, Sumali, and Mali, the three brothers. They were the three children of Shukeshas are actually there's Mallavan, Sumali and Mali. So when they were disturbing the demigods became very perturbed. They were very powerful and they have taken over. So the demigods approached Vishnu and said that, look, they are creating so much disturbance. And so then Vishnu came and he himself killed Mali. And Mallavan and Sumali ran away and went to the Patala Loka, the lower region. They were hiding there. But after some time, when they came back, when they came out, they saw how Kuvera was enjoying the Sri Lanka. So they wanted to capture Sri Lanka. But they knew that with their power they couldn't do it. So Sumali had a daughter called Koikoshi. So he thought that if my daughter gets married to Vishrava and she gets a son through him, then he will have a natural right to Kuvera's kingdom as the father's property. So Kuvera would be his stepbrother, and so this is how he got this. He provoked his daughter. She was very beautiful. The demon's children also can be very beautiful. And it's not that the Rakshasas and Daityas and Danavas are very ugly looking. The subtle body is very ugly. But ugly subtle body not necessarily implies that the gross body also will be ugly. Sometimes they have very beautiful features. Nowadays also we see that some people may look so handsome or so beautiful, but their mentality is so ugly and crooked. So by external features one cannot actually determine the inner state of consciousness of that individual. So at the beginning while presenting, I made a little mistake. Actually, Vishrava was Pulastra's son, not Shukesha. Shukesha was the father of these three demons, Mallavan, Sumali and Mali. Anyway, so Vishrava was married to Koikoshi. And through Koikoshi, Vishrava had three sons. They are Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. And a daughter, Shurpanakha. So Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Shurpanakha, their character was similar. Because they all were demoniac. But Vibhishan was very saintly. And there is a reason also. When Koikoshi approached Vishrava, Vishrava told that you have approached me at the wrong time, so the children you will give birth, they will be demoniac. Then she appealed, please, give me at least one son who will be divine. So he said, okay, your youngest son, Vibhishan, will be a devotee of the Lord. So after their birth, they all left. Actually, they were also, their features were quite significant. Like Ravan was born with 10 heads and 12 arms. And he was very fierce looking. And Vibhishan, Kumbhakarna had a body 3 yojana long at the time of his birth. 3 yojanas means 3 into 12 miles. 3 into 4 miles. Yeah. 12 mile long. Body. That's at the time of his birth. And I know some of you must be wondering, how is it possible? Now if you go and tell an ant that how big a body the human beings have, what will the ant think? Won't they also think? How is it possible? The human beings, just at the time of their birth, they have a body so big. Why they think that way? Because they think in the antish way. Right? Similarly, from our human calculation, there are some beings who may appear to be impossible. Their feature, their size. But in this arrangement of the Lord, everything is possible. And so these children were born, and there is another thing also. By Brahma's arrangement, the Rakshasas have one faculty that as soon as a woman becomes pregnant, they give birth. Their children don't remain in the womb. Right after conception, children are born. Maybe one reason is they don't want to take the trouble of carrying the children for so long. Another thing about the Rakshasas or Rakshasis, they, because they do not have any affection, they don't give milk to their children. What is milk? Milk is actually mother's blood. Due to affection for the child, it becomes milk. Blood is transformed into milk. But with the Rakshasas, that don't happen. They don't get milk. What they get? The straight blood. And that's why they become man-eaters. From their childhood, they are just, they get the taste of blood. So they went to perform austerities. And the austerities that they perform is terrible. All three are performing austerities. Ravan, Kumbhakarna and Vibhishan. Ravan, what was Ravan doing? He chopped off one after another his 9 heads and offered them to the sacrificial fire. And when he was about to offer his 10th head, then Brahma came. He said, stop. You don't have to do that. And then Brahma said, what do you want? Ravan said, make me immortal. Brahma said, look, I myself am not immortal. How can I make you immortal? Then Ravan said, okay, give me the boon that I won't be killed by any devas, any danavas, any jakshas, any rakshasas. And Ravan, he was so puffed up, he didn't consider the human beings and monkeys. So Brahma said, okay, as you desire, that will be granted. That you won't be killed by any devas or danavas and rakshasas and so forth, jakshas. But you are vulnerable to the human beings and monkeys. Ravan said, it doesn't matter. Human beings, who cares about them? And Brahma gave him another benediction. That even if your head gets cut off, immediately a new head will appear. Even if somebody cuts your head, another new head will appear. So Ravan actually became immortal. The demigods became worried when they saw that Brahma is giving them these benedictions. Then they considered that now if they give benediction to Kumbhakarna, then we will be in trouble. Because he was such a character, even right after his birth, he ate up about 3 million yakshas right after his birth. So that if he can eat up 3 million yakshas right after their birth, what's he going to do if he gets a boon? So they approached Saraswati, Bagh Devi, the controller of speech. So said that, look, you take control of his speech and bewilder him to ask the boon while asking the boon. So Saraswati did that. And when Brahma asked the Kumbhakarna, so what do you want? Kumbhakarna said, let me sleep peacefully all the time. So Ravan realized some foul play has been there. So he said, look, he is your grandson, told Brahma. He is your grandson, or great-grandson actually. So please, don't deceive him like that. Then Kumbhakarna said, Brahma said, okay, after 6 months he will wake up only for one day. And when he is asleep, no one will be able to kill him. But if his sleep is broken untimely, if he is woken up untimely, then he will die that day. And when Brahma asked Vibhishan, Vibhishan simply said, please give me Krishna Bhakti. Give me devotion to the Lord. Then Ravan started to torment all three worlds. Became so powerful, he was more powerful than the demigods. Demigods couldn't do anything. So then Indra approached Kuber and said, look, he's your younger brother. So give him some good advice and tell him not to disturb the demigods and the arrangement of the Lord. So Kuvera, being persuaded in this way, sent a messenger to Ravan that please don't disturb the demigods. They are meant to control the affairs of the universe. And if you disturb them, then they will not be able to perform their responsibilities properly. So, Ravan then, instead of accepting the advice, he became very upset. And he immediately went to Kuvera and plundered his kingdom, had a fight with him. Kuvera actually apparently was more powerful than Ravana. He had, the number will blow your mind. He had 70 crore soldiers. Whereas Ravan at that time had 28 crores soldiers. But in the battle, Ravan won. And he drove Kuvera away from... already Ravan, when he became so powerful, he told Kuvera he wanted to take over Lanka. And Pulastra told Kuvera that let him have Lanka and you go to Kailash. So Kuvera then made his kingdom in Kailash, the mountain where Lord Shiva resides. But here Ravan actually attacked Kuber's kingdom, and then as a token of his victory, he took away Kuber's Pushpak chariot, the flying chariot. And so then Ravan started his exploit. He was going forward into Kailash. So there Lord Shiva's associate Nandi stopped him. He said, "Look, Lord Shiva is with Parvati here, so you don't go any further." So Ravan said, "Who are you? You monkey face." He insulted. So Nandi said, "You are insulting me as a monkey face, so I curse you that the monkeys will defeat you. The monkeys will be the cause of your defeat." And Ravan couldn't pay any heed to him. And then with his 20 hands, he jokingly lifted Kailash. And he lifted. It was so powerful that he lifted the mountain. And not only just an ordinary mountain, Kailash mountain. And so when he did that, Parvati lost her balance and she was about to fall off and she became very perturbed. And seeing that Lord Shiva smiled, he knew what was happening. And with his toe, he just pressed the mountain. And that was going to smash Ravan. Ravan would have been smashed under the mountain. But somehow he escaped. He came out quickly, but his hand got stuck. And he realized that it was Lord Shiva who has been annoyed with him. So he started to offer prayers to Lord Shiva. Incidentally, Ravan is a very good singer. One of the exponents of music is Ravan. It's many good qualities actually. He's a very good singer, and in choice verse, he was actually praising Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva became pleased with him and let him go. Then Ravan, while he was traveling through Himalayas, he saw an extremely beautiful woman just sitting alone in the mountain range. And he could see that she was very austere. She was performing great austerities. So, the demons are always very lusty. They can't control their senses. That's why they're demons. So whenever they see a beautiful woman, they become lusty. So their lust is so uncontrollable that they don't have any control over. So seeing that beautiful woman there, Ravan just approached. And said, "Who are you? What are you doing in this solitary place?" So this lady replied that, "My name is Vedavati. I am the daughter of Kushadhaj, the son of Brihaspati. And my father wanted me to marry Lord Vishnu. Therefore, I am performing austerities so that in order to get Lord Vishnu as my husband." Ravan said, "Who is Vishnu?" And she said, "He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Powerful Personality." Ravan said, "Supreme Powerful? I am the Supreme Powerful. And if I see your Vishnu, I will kill him. So you better marry me. You better become my wife." she said, look, I gave my heart to Vishnu. The only person that I want to marry is Vishnu. Besides him, I can't think of anybody. So Ravan then caught her by her hair and tried to drag her. But she was such a powerful woman, just by running her hand through her hair, she cut her hair and released herself from Ravana's grip. And she said that, because of your touch, my body has been contaminated, and I'll give up this body. But I curse you that I will become the cause of your death. Saying that, she generated a fire from her body and burnt herself. Gave up her body and left. So this Vedavati, in course of time, appeared as Sita Devi. Previously also she was Ajani Sambhava. She was not born from out of the womb of the mother. She was born when her father was chanting mantras. The mantras became manifested in the form of, therefore her name was Vedavati. The Vedas personified. And then Ravan started his exploit. Ravan attacked the king of Ayodhya, Anaranya. Anaranya was an old person at that time. He was very old. He was 80,000 years old. Now mind you, what was the duration of the people's life at that time? He was actually carrying on from Satya Yuga. Anyway, he was very old man. But Ravan challenged him. As a Kshatriya, he accepted the challenge. But in that battle, Anaranya died. But before dying, he told Ravan that in my family a personality will appear. And he will be the cause of your death. He will kill you. I haven't been able to kill you. But a personality will appear in my family who will kill you. So, in this family, Lord Ramchandra appeared. This is the family of Suryavamsa. The family from Sanvad, Vivashan, to Vaivashata Manu. Manustan was Ikshaku, and in that family, Anaranya was also a king. Then, in that family came Aja, Raghu, Dasarath, and Dasarath's son is Sri Ramchandra. So in this way we can see how, due to the karmic arrangements, things happen which ultimately culminate into the effect. The cause, there are various causes. This way we can see that how beautifully the karmic reaction in the material nature designs the destiny of every single individual. Ravan actually defeated practically everybody. Now, an interesting thing to note is that Ravan defeated practically everyone, being empowered by the boon of Lord Brahma. But he could not defeat the devotees of the Lord, and those who are connected to the Lord. The one person that Ravana could not defeat is Kartavijayajun. Kartavijayajun was empowered by the Lord. Ravana was empowered by Brahma, but he was empowered by the Lord. Therefore, he was more powerful. Kartavijayajun had 1,000 hands. And his kingdom was on the bank of Narmada River. So, on the bank, on the base of Vindha Mountain. It must be somewhere in Madhya Pradesh. The capital, his capital was Mahishmati Nagari. So one day Ravan, sitting on the bank of Narmada, was offering his worship to Lord Shiva. He got his paraphernalia and he had his army waiting with him. And then all of a sudden there was a flood and the water overflew and just washed away Ravan's articles of worship. Ravan was surprised. What happened? And then his minister, Sharan, told him. He actually watched the situation and he found out and reported that Kartavijayajun was playing with 1,000 young girls in the river Narmada. And while playing, in order to make them swim nicely, he held the river with his 1,000 hands and stopped the river's flow. And as a result of that, the water rose. So Ravan got very upset. He immediately ran. But by the time Kartavijayajun left the scene, the river bank, and went back to his palace. So Ravan came to him, to Mahishmati Nagari, and challenged him. So Kartavijayajun's messengers told him, his men told him that, look, why are you challenging him? You are no match for him. With his 1,000 hands, with his 500 hands, he holds 500 bows, and with other 500 hands, he holds 500 arrows, and he shoots at the same time. So how can you match him? You have only 20 hands. He has 1,000 hands. But Ravan was very adamant, and he challenged Kartavijayajun. And Kartavijayajun first sent his soldiers, but they were massacred by Ravan. So he himself came. He himself came and challenged Ravan. It has been described that he was standing there like Sumeru Mountain. And Ravan was defeated by him. And then he said that how? Then Ravan told him that he had been blessed by Brahma and he is just going around defeating those who are weaker than him and making friends with those who are stronger than him. So he asked him, please offer your friendship to me. So Kartavijayajun, who was also had a demoniac streak in him, he became a friend of Ravan and let Ravan go. Then Ravan was looking around to fight somebody. So Narad Muni, at that time, came to Ravan and said, look, go and have a fight with Jamaraj. Because if you can defeat him, then you actually will be able to defeat death. So go and defeat him. Sri Ravan thought that's a good idea. Yamraj. So Jampuri has four gates. In the eastern gate, when he approached, he found that people who have a lot of pious activities, they're enjoying there. Those in the western gate are those who have performed lots of austerities. They're enjoying. And in northern gate, those who have achieved their perfection through meditation, they're enjoying. Then he came to the southern gate and he saw there the sinful people are suffering the reactions of their sinful acts. So Ravan took compassion upon those sinners. Since he himself was a sinner, he thought, what's wrong with being sinful? Why should they suffer? Let them enjoy. So this also indicates why sometimes people ask, in this age, it seems that sinful people are enjoying. Now, because the dharma has turned upside down in the age of Kali, that's why in this age, sinful people actually enjoy to some extent. But their enjoyment is not long-lasting. So Ravan wanted to release these sinners. So the agent of Jamraj, Jamduta, those who were engaged in punishing the sinners, they stopped Ravan. They had a fight, and the Jamadutas couldn't stand in front of Ravan. Then finally Jamraj came, and Jamraj had a long fight with Ravan, but he was finding it difficult to defeat Ravan because he became so powerful. So then Jamraj, at that time, death appeared in front of Jamraj. So, my lord, your most powerful weapon is me. So use him, use me against him. I'll kill him. So Jamraj then stood there with the Kala Dandas. His another weapon is time. So with that he was about to annihilate Ravan. So at that time Brahma appeared there. Brahma said, Jam, his time hasn't come as yet. He has been blessed by me, he has received a boon from me, that he is not going to be killed by any demigod or Gandharvas or Jakshas or Rakshasas. But in course of time he will be killed. But you are not the one to kill him. So spare him. So then Jamraj left that place, being instructed by Brahma, who is everyone's grandfather. And in the Vedic culture, abiding by the instructions of the superior is very, very strictly observed. So when Brahma instructed Jamraj like that, Jamraj left. And Ravan thought that Jamraj became defeated, and that's why he ran away. So he released the sinners and started to disturb the pious ones. And then Ravan went to conquer different places. Then he was told that Bali, the king of the monkeys, is very powerful. So Ravan went to Kishkindha, the kingdom of the monkeys, and challenged Bali. But Bali's ministers told him that Bali They advise that don't try to fight with him. He is the most powerful. The son of Indra is very powerful, so you can't defeat him. So rather spare yourself the embarrassment and trouble. Ravan said, you don't know me. Like, I can defeat anybody. And don't try to discourage me, and because then I'll be very upset. And if I get upset, then you better watch out what may happen to you. So then the minister said, well, Bali is now in the northern ocean, Uttar Sagar. Every morning when the sun rises, he goes to the all four oceans to chant his Gayatri. So now he is in the northern. So Ravan immediately went to Uttar Sagar. And from at that time, Bali was sitting in meditation, just like Sitaram Prabhu here. And from his behind, he grabbed him. Ravan grabbed him from behind. Now Bali's body was 80 yojana long. And his tail was 50 yojanas. So he realized that some troublemaker is trying to cause some trouble for him. So with his tail, he just tied up Ravan. And he chanted his Gayatri. And he ducked Ravan inside the ocean water. And then after chanting his Gayatri in the northern ocean, he went to the western ocean. There also he did the same. Then he went to the southern ocean. Then he went to the eastern ocean. By the time he finished his Gayatri, Ravan was finished. So he started to cry, please let me go, please let me go. Because he was completely helpless. He was just tied up by his tail. And when he was jumping, he was catching Ravan tied up in his tail. Then Ravan also made friendship with Bali and begged forgiveness and asked him to let him go. Then another person that he was defeated is Mandhata. The Mandhata also was in the Ikshaku family. He was a very powerful king. So when Ravan challenged him, Mandhata actually defeated him. Oh yeah, when Bali was taking Ravan, about to kill Ravan, at that time Pulastya came and pleaded for Ravan. Please let him go. Because he was his grandson. And so Bali let him go and they made a friendship. And then another person that defeated him was Mandhata. And Mandhata was a king in the Ikshaku dynasty. And he defeated him, but then he told, when Ravan begged forgiveness, he said, look, if you can take a straw in your mouth and hold it in your teeth and beg forgiveness, then I will let you go. Which is meaning completely surrendering himself. And, oh yeah, and Brahma actually came to Mandhata and told him, don't kill him, because he is not going to be killed by you. But in your family, the Lord will appear and he'll kill him. So Mandhata said, okay, let him go. Then Ravan saw when he was on his travel one day, one time he saw that Rambha, the wife of Nalukuve, was going in a chariot, and she was extremely beautiful. And Ravan became enchanted by her beauty and wanted to molest her. So Rambha said, look, you are like my father, because I am the wife of your nephew. But Ravan, he was so obsessed with his lusty desire, he didn't pay any heed to any such instruction. And he molested Rambha. And being molested by Ravan, Rambha was completely devastated, and she cursed that if you forcibly molest any other woman, then you'll die. And that's the reason why Ravan never dared to molest anybody, any other woman. That's why although he kidnapped Sita, he didn't dare to molest Sita. So this is how the scene was set. Ravan, he defeated the demigods. He defeated all the demigods, and Indra was defeated by, not by him, Indra was defeated by his son, Meghnad, who was so powerful by his receiving the boon of Brahma. And he captured Indra with the Nag Pash, the chain of snakes, the noose of snakes. He defeated Indra and he brought him to Lanka, and he kept Indra in the Jagdashala, where he used to perform sacrifices. But Brahma came and released Indra. He told Ravan that don't insult Indra, don't do things like this, because if when Indra is defeated, when Indra is missing from the heaven, Swarga Loka, all the activities are disrupted. Sun is not rising in time, moon is not rising in time, wind is not blowing, fire is not burning. So let Indra lose. And Ravan said, look, it is Indrajit who actually captivated him, and he is under his custody. So speak to him. So Brahma went and told him, he said, your father has asked you to release Indra. He said, okay, I'll release Indra, but give me a boon, make me immortal. Brahma said, I can't ask any other boon besides that, because I don't have the power to give that boon. Then Indrajit took some boons from him that he could fight, hiding behind the cloud. Like the enemy, he would fight, but his enemies won't be able to see him. And then he asked a boon that no one would be able to kill him. Then finally Brahma told him that when you perform your yajna, then no one will, you'll become invincible. But if somebody interrupts your yajna, and if somebody succeeds to interrupt your yajna, then you'll become vulnerable to him. But that person must be celibate for 14 years. Celibate in the sense he wouldn't even see a woman's face. He wouldn't see a woman's face for 14 years. He would not eat anything for 14 years. And he wouldn't sleep for 14 years. So Meghnad sir, well, who can be like that? So he said, okay, fine. So that's why Lakshman was the only one who could kill him. After Ramchandra returned from rescuing Sita and killing Ravan, when Ramchandra returned to Ayodhya, then everyone was glorifying Ramchandra. But at that time Vasishtha told that actually Ram wouldn't have been able to kill or defeat Indrajit. It has been possible only by Lakshman. And it is only due to Lakshman that he could win the battle. Otherwise he couldn't win the battle. And he told that the condition was that one has to be a celibate for 14 years, wouldn't see a woman's face for 14 years, would not eat anything for 14 years, and wouldn't sleep for 14 years. And Lakshman, therefore, was the person who could do that. But Ram said, well, I can understand that he did not sleep, because he was actually vigilant all the time when we are in the forest. But every day I used to give him a fruit. And he used to take that. So how can you say that he didn't eat anything for 14 years? Then Ramchandra, then Agastya said that actually you gave him the fruit. He didn't eat the fruit. You gave him the fruit saying, take it. So he took it. But then he returned the fruit to the forest. So Ramchandra told Hanuman, Hanuman, just go and count to find out whether it's true. Hanuman immediately went to the forest and he counted the fruits. And he found that it was less by 4 fruits, 4 days. So Ram asked, then, so for 4 days he actually took fruits. Then Lakshman reminded him, no, those 4 days you forgot to give me the fruit. One was the day you got the news that Dasharath, our father, left, you forgot to give me fruit. The day Sita was stolen, kidnapped by Ravan, you didn't give me the fruit. The day I was hit by Shakti, you didn't give me the fruit. And there was another 4th day I'm forgetting. So these 4 days, so then Ram accepted, yes. But he said, well, Sita was there all the time with us for these 14 years. So how can you say that he didn't see a woman? Woman's face. Then Lakshman admitted that he never looked at Sita's face. He always looked at Sita's feet. And he reminded that when the monkey showed Sita's ornaments, Lakshman could identify only the ankle bells. Because that's the only ornament of Sita Devi that he saw. And then at that time Ravan said, as my younger brother, you underwent so much difficulties in this pastimes. So in my next pastimes, you won't have to become my younger brother. You'll become my elder brother. So, in Ramayana we can see that Lord Ramchandra, only Lord Ramchandra could kill Ravan. Ram and Lakshman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead only could kill such a personality. It is something like in this play, the personality, the opponent, the in dramatic term it's called antagonist or villain. So this antagonist is portrayed in such a way that it seems that he is the most powerful individual. He is the best. But then the Lord is established as better than the best. So that is how his pastimes become so wonderful. And from this we at least learn one very important lesson. That if we have to side with somebody, then let's side only with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is the best. We naturally want to side with the best, be with the best. On the material platform, no matter how powerful, no matter how generous, no matter how kind and how benevolent one may appear to be, but no one equals to the Lord. Therefore, the smartest thing, most intelligent thing to do is to side up with the Lord. Just side with the Lord and that's it. Don't side with anyone else. If we have to surrender to somebody, so let us surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we are surrendering to such a master, then let us surrender wholeheartedly. Why should we hold something on for ourselves? 50% surrender, 50% for ourselves. No. 100%. Not even 99% and 1% for ourselves. No, not even 1%. Not even an iota for ourselves. 100%. Then the Lord will also give himself 100% to us. If we say 100% we are surrendering and 100% will take care of ourselves. Then what will Krishna say? He says, okay, so then take care of yourself with your 50%. Don't ask me. Right? Because that comes first. If you fail at that 50%, then you can come to me. Then I'll apply my 100%, my 50%. But then by the time we are completely defeated and come to the Lord, then naturally we want to ask for him to save us with 50% of his share. Then we will say 100% surrender to you. And the Lord will also give us 100% protection. Therefore, the most intelligent thing to do is to surrender to the Lord, 100%. Just 100%, nothing less, nothing more. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Ram Navami Maha Mahotsav ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.